Lost on Lost Season 2, baby!
Hell yeah!
We've watched Seasons 1, 2, and 3 of Lost, and we've learned a lot.
Did we?
And we've learned to love Jack, Kate, Sawyer, Boone, and Claire.
Did we?
But now it's time for Seasons 4, 5, and 6.
That's right, we're still gonna talk about the mysteries and mythologies of the island.
And obviously hot tropical hookups.
But now we're gonna talk about things like the freighter.
The others.
Charles Widmore.
The lighthouse.
Time travel.
9/11.
Ronald Reagan.
The Catholic Church.
Titus.
Gold Chains.
The military industrial complex.
The prison industrial complex.
The void.
The orb.
And so much more.
So strap on and strap down, because if you thought last season was confusing,
this is going to be so much worse. Or better if you like being lost on Lost. Strap on?
You heard me.
Welcome everybody to Lost on Lost. Hey, I'm JP Russell, and I'm joined as always by a man who's seen Empire Strikes Back at least 200 times, Adam Buescher.
It might be up there. The first one I ever saw was Return of the Jedi, because when we were little, we went to the library to go check them out, me and Kate, my sister. You could only check out three tapes from the library at any given time. Or I wanted to get all three Star Wars movies. Give me all three.
Yeah.
And Ma was like, no, you gotta let Kate pick something out. I was like, well, then I just want the one with the teddy bears. And so the first Star Wars movie I ever saw was Jedi.
Yeah.
And I loved it for the longest time. And then I became an adult and I was like, oh, that's actually the not the greatest one.
Yeah, that's probably the weakest of the three.
But it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't sure if that was funny, and turns out it wasn't.
No.
We have a guest.
He's back for the hat trick.
Former guest host.
Yeah, former guest host and guest.
My only regret is not coming up with more bits and fun little segments for you guys to do.
Well, you can try it again. Ladies and gentlemen,
I've got a few.
Eric.
Yeah, Eric Rudkin is back. The Big Easy.
Welcome back, Eric.
I mean, I will never forget the phrase secret baby tomb for the rest of my life. So we have you, me and the audience, we have you to thank for that.
You're very welcome.
You just need to bring that kind of energy back.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Secret baby tomb 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Tomb spelled T-W-O.
Yeah. Eric, what have you been watching since you were last on the pod?
I've got two things on very different wavelengths.
Yeah.
So I've been watching Slow Horses on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. Gary Oldman.
We were
just talking about this morning.
It is so good.
I'm reading the book.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The show's super good. Gary Oldman is probably... I've never seen Gary Oldman do anything bad, so that's cool. And then on the other side of the spectrum, I just got through the second season of Jujutsu Kaisen, and I want to cry a little bit, but
yeah,
it's going to be fine, probably.
You pitched that to me as like Game of Thrones ain't got shit
they're,
on this.
They're killing everybody out here.
All right, well, those are two recommendations.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about Lost?
Probably should.
Oh, my goodness.
Some Like It Hoth is the 13th episode of season 5 and the 99th episode
Holy smokes.
Of the show overall. It originally aired on April 15th, 2009. It was written by Melinda Sue Taylor and Gregory Nations and directed by Jack Bender. I didn't do jokes for them because I'm tired of doing jokes about the writers and directors. Our centric character is Miles Strom, and Some Like It Hoth takes place on the third day after the crash of Ajira 316. JP, do you have a recap?
I do.
What's happened?
Time travel rules are different in every story. In Time Cop, the rule states that the same matter can't occupy the same space at the same time. But in this, the rules don't say shit about eradicating the Ewoks. On the island, Miles deals with daddy issues. Hurley, Dr. Chang, and Miles bro it out and try to set up a time to get a couple of cold ones with the boys. Speaking of day drinking, Ben is missing and Roger's... I guess upset about it for some reason. I don't know. And in the days of future past, Miles makes some new friends. One friend offers him $1.6 million for very little work. The other friend offers to treat his childhood trauma. Hey, you guys want to fix my childhood trauma? $1.6 million is a great fucking place to start. Hey, Adam, pull the podcast over. We got to check the sandwiches. Let's get into Some Like It Hoth.
And the money thing, we can talk about it later, but
I love Miles so much.
money fixes like just so many problems. Almost all of them, actually.
Yeah.
We open in flashback.
Austin 316, baby.
There's a mom and a son trying to get an apartment. Well, it's a mom at first. It's a mom, and she's this weird landlord dude is just like, showing her the microwave. Like, the place is fully loaded. It's got a microwave.
It's truly all the amenities here.
I've never seen such luxury. I might go blind.
Baby Miles comes in, and the landlord gets real shitty. Like, you said it was just you. Like, she had a Springer Spaniel or something like that.
Right.
Like,
it seems to be relatively well-behaved child.
Yeah.
Sure, it'll be fine. He's not running around throwing.
It's not a
literally
newborn.
Came in, and I think he just asked for a quarter, and the landlord's just like, I don't know about all this noise.
The other tenants don't like the noise. It's like, it's a good thing we had the captions on. I could hardly hear Miles.
Yeah.
He just gets shitty about it, and he's like, okay.
Yeah, like, I guess
it's fine.
Which, given how the rest of the exchange goes, it is super weird that he still gave them the apartment after he made a stink about it.
Yeah. Right, yeah. If he was a real dick, he would have just like, oh, there's a kid here, I'm gonna double your rent.
Yeah, exactly.
They continue to talk about the apartment. We follow little Miles. He's gonna go look for a snack. He starts to have these flashes as he's moving through the courtyard of this apartment building.
Yeah.
Just like these little
acid flashback.
Yeah, something's happening. And so he starts wandering off. Instead of going to the snack machine, he heads up the stairs to the second floor of the building, sees the flash of the door, whatever, and goes up to the door. Is it unlocked?
He
looks the key under
because there were a bunch of references to like other lost shit. The key was under a white rabbit. So he flashes, he learns where the key is through the flash, he finds the key, opens the door, goes in there, and there's a guy keeled over on the floor.
Yeah.
The mom and the landlord come running. Oh my god. And the landlord's, oh man, not this guy. I just saw him the other day. He was fine. Whatever. But then Miles was like, he was alone and he was scared and he was calling out for his wife, Kimberly. And the landlord's like, that's his wife. She's been dead for a year.
Kimberly's been dead for 40 years.
Right.
Lightning.
But then they're like, how could you know that? I'm like, he could have just died.
Right.
Yeah. That could have been a heart attack. Like,
right. I mean, it was, right?
Like, well, and he obviously hasn't been there for weeks. Otherwise, the smell would have attracted somebody and he would have been found already.
Dude probably died like that morning.
Yeah.
Well, it was established later in the episode that corpses don't smell that bad. So let's give him a break.
They kind of smell like potentially sandwiches. Turned mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miles can talk to dead people.
Cool.
I guess.
But it is pretty creepy because like right after that, then Miles started saying like, no, I can still hear him talking. I can hear him. And I was like, oh, that's actually fucking terrifying. A child screaming at a dead body. I can hear him.
I can hear him. I can hear him.
That's bone chilling.
Yeah, that's not great.
They still did get the apartment, though. We don't love the noise, but we love this kid that can talk to dead people.
Yeah. You know, if your kid wants his own unit, something just opened up.
Yeah. We cut back to 1977, the height of the Dharma Initiative. I wrote in my notes LaFleur and Jim several times, even though I know his name is Sawyer.
Yeah.
It's just so convincing.
Yeah.
How can you not love a guy named LaFleur?
No. Jim LaFleur.
James Sawyer Ford LaFleur. I don't know why this is such a hard name for people to get down.
James Jim LaFleur Sawyer Ford.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, duh.
But yeah, LaFleur radios into Miles. He and Kate are out at the Sonic Fence, and he radios into Miles, who's supposed to be watching the security tape, but he's reading a magazine. And he tells him to cut the cameras. He and Kate are doing some hood rat shit.
Yeah, we learn later. I assume that they let Ben go to the others for some reason.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption. LaFleur's like, I'm chasing an escaped hostile. If anybody's looking for me, just
go erase the fucking tapes.
Yeah, erase the tapes and cover for me. We're doing some shit over here. Miles like, all right, cool. Sounds good to me. Yeah, little Ben is missing is my next note because it's not Big Ben. This next, the next part while Miles is trying to erase the tape and when known pervert Doug Hutchison wanders in.
Oh, I called him Gary Gygax in my notes. I did not have a name. And
Has Doug been canceled? Is he a bad guy?
I fucking hope. I mean, he married that 17-year-old girl with her parents' permission. Oh. So I hope her parents are canceled.
I did not know that.
Yeah, for anybody who is not aware of the Doug Hutchison, it happened years and years ago. He was 51 years old. She was 17. They got married. They had her parents' permission, but the whole thing was real skeezy and weird. And that's Doug Hutchison, this guy playing Horace.
Oh,
He was also in the Green Mile.
He's in the Green Mile in Punisher Warzone.
Yeah, he was in the Green Mile. He was that dickhead Percy who electrocuted and set that guy on fire. So that's Horace. He needs LaFleur. LaFleur's not around, so he decides to bring Miles into the Circle of Trust.
Holy hell. The qualifications for being in the Circle of Trust are you are now in the Circle of Trust.
Right. I need to bring you into the circle of trust. Can I trust you? Yeah. You passed.
Wow.
Congratulations. You've succeeded through our rigorous testing
process. I don't want to drive across town. You're in.
Yeah, what's Horace doing that's so damn pressing?
I think Horace is technically the leader of the Dharma Initiative.
Oh, really?
I think he's the guy. I think he's the top guy.
I thought that was Dr. Chang.
No. I don't think there's like a president or like a mayor or anything like that. But I think there are. So I think they're like department heads kind of. So I think Dr. Chang is probably like in charge of some scientific and construction and stuff like that. Horace is in charge of like motor pool security.
Got it. Okay.
I think that's how it works. Again, I can't remember, and we haven't been shown it here on the show.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so welcome to the Circle of Trust. Do you feel comfortable and trustworthy and all that?
I do.
Excellent. Yeah. Here's a package I need you to bring to Resident Dork Radzinski.
Yeah.
Take that over there. He's going to send you back with something else. Miles is like, so I just need to drive over there and drop this off?
Yeah.
Did I need to be in the Circle of Trust?
Right.
Yeah. Drives over there, gets held up by Radzinski.
Radzinski's got like a crazy look in his eye.
There was something about this. I don't know if Radzinski names were a struggle
here. Oh yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of bald men wielding a lot of power in the Dharma Initiative, I kind of got a lot of them mixed up. But Radzinski's the one that did the Dick Cheney hunting accident on Saeed, right? Yeah, he fell in a ditch.
Well, yes, but that wasn't Saeed.
That wasn't Saeed.
Was it not?
No.
I thought they were looking for Saeed, and then they found him.
Well, no.
They are looking for Saeed.
Yes.
That's not Saeed.
Okay.
Yes.
Saeed is elsewhere.
Got it.
We don't know. We have no idea where he was. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, that wasn't Saeed. That was just a dude.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had some sort of accident. He's like, is that? He fell in a ditch. Oh, why does he have a bullet hole in his forehead? That's not a bullet hole. What are you talking about?
Does that ditch have a gun?
Yeah. Does that ditch have a gun? That was a really good line.
Which is like one of my top three fears. Like ditch guns, flightless birds, and
brain aneurysm.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you're at Radzinski's like, stop with all the questions. What is this? What are you, a cop? Just take the body back to the body place and leave. I thought you were in the Circle of Trust. Relax, dude.
I also love how he's like, oh, I was expecting LaFleur. Regardless, I still stopped you in the middle of the road by pointing a gun at you.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder about the, you know, so like Dr. Chang obviously wears a lab coat because he's a doctor, but then you have your tan suit Dharma Initiative and then your blue suit Dharma Initiative guys,
right.
And how, you know, the delineation of like how they separate all.
Sure.
Makes me curious about that. Yeah, Miles is like, yeah, cool, dead body, no, it's all good.
Yeah.
Vanna, I'm out of here. And then
that's neat.
Yeah, all the other guys fuck off, and then Miles is like, all right, dead body, what's the real story?
Yeah.
Tell me your secrets, dead man.
Which I was like, hell yeah. Then like a little bit later, I was like, all right.
He got shot.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
Oh?
We'll talk about it. Smash the lost card. Cut back to flashback. Teenage Miles.
Rufio looking ass.
He's got my hairline, but you can tell he's a teenager because he's got piercings.
He goes to see his mom, who is sick, not looking good.
In the apartment.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that apartment.
He has some conversation. It seems like he hasn't seen his mom for some time.
Yeah, for a while.
She's kind of like on death's door. And they start to talk. You know, he's like, I'm sorry I didn't get here sooner. She's like, hey, don't worry about it. It's all good. Thanks for being here now. He starts to press her with some harder questions like, hey, why don't we ever talk? Like, why am I this way? Why can I do things I do? Why don't you ever talk about dad?
Yeah.
And she's like, your dad's dead. He's been dead. He never gave a shit. Don't worry about him.
Mm-hmm.
But then Miles hits her with the, where's her body? Or where's his body? You know, like, and I get the assumption that she knows that he can probably talk to dead people.
Yeah.
So she's like, his body is someplace you will never be able to get there.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. I just thought it was cool that Miles was raised bilingual. That's why he can talk to dead people, because his dad's dead. Like,
my mom speaks English and my father's dead.
My father's dead and my mom speaks English and I have both.
Dead. Come back to 77. Miles is supposed to deliver the body to Dr. Chang at the Orchid Station, mm-hmm. which is presently under construction.
I noted here, like, there's like a steady cam move, and like they built this skeleton of a building, which seemed like it was probably built for the show because it's so up against the jungle. I was like, it feels like back half the show, we got a new budget. We can build new sets. We can do new stuff. Like, sure. It looked like a little bit more money was injected back into the show.
Yeah. I mean, Lost was still pretty popular at this point. It wasn't as popular as it was when it started, but it was still pretty popular.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Miles goes to get in the van, and Hurley's like, I stole your van.
Saeed.
Yeah, he's like, I got to take lunch out to the Orchid. Oh, you're going to the Orchid? Let's just pile in.
What a cool, crazy random happenstance. I'm also going there.
Yeah, so he's piling some coolers in. Yeah, Hurley, now that he's a member of the Dharma Initiative, is a chef. He works for the commissary. You know, they all got sorted into their Dharma station departments. The sorting jumpsuit.
Yeah, some joke about like, yeah, let's carpool. We'll stop global warming from ever happening.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe we'll stop it. Like, ever the optimist.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Miles, he can't really push back too hard because he's in the circle of trust or whatever. So he's like, yeah, all right, just calm down. Cut over to Kate and Juliet over at the infirmary. Kate tells Juliet, yeah, we handed little Ben off. But yeah, so they're like, oh, yeah, everything will be fine. You know, everything will be great.
Don't worry about it.
And then Roger Workman wanders to look for, he's got like supplies, I guess, Band-Aids. Like, they're already in the infirmary.
Right.
So it's strange that he's like, I got Band-Aids. Like, we had Band-Aids.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what this building does.
Right. But Ben's gone.
I mean, it's understandable to be worried about your son. He is his son, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing. He didn't need to bring anything. He could have just been there already, you know?
He also hates his son. We've seen that in a previous episode.
Does, yeah, he does blame his son for the death of his wife because she died in childbirth.
Childbirth. Yeah.
John Grease is a phenomenal actor, and he does a great job of making Roger Linus be a big, what do I big lame-o. Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh, there we go.
Uncle Rico?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, real?
Got in one, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
He's like, I'm fucking telling, and runs away.
Yeah, do you think it was scripted for him to run into that doctor's table on the way out and like?
I was wondering
floor,
that, because,
it was just like, he was looking back and then hit it and then kind of did the, like, on his way out. And that could not have been how they wrote that.
Yeah.
That's because he's such a phenomenal actor. Acting is reacting.
Yeah. He's method. He just got loaded for.
Yeah. He's just totally
hammering scenes.
He drank 19 light beers that morning. he wanders off and then Juliet just looks at Kate. Well, here we go.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, at this point you can't stop him.
Right.
So now we just got to deal with however this shakes out.
Yeah.
Go back to Miles and Hurley driving through the jungle. Hurley's like, hey, Miles, how do you spell bounty hunter?
Okay, we're going to do the first of my new little segments.
Excellent.
Go for it.
I like to call this one, how do you guys think Hurley spelled bounty hunter?
Oh, he absolutely wrote booty hunter.
And he went to scratch it out, and he's like,
no, wait a minute. I made some improvements.
I just made some improvements. Yeah, and I wrote that. That's where I wrote down, Hurley is 100% attempting to write Star Wars.
Oh, see, I
didn't get it till the second time, and I said I absolutely should have called that. Also, I'm thinking he went with Bunty Hunter.
Oh, Bunty.
Oh, yeah, that's B-U-N-T. I would think he did it with an I-E at the end. That's what I
powerful.
Think. Yep. Hurley spells something he accuses Miles of farting, which is a no-no on a road trip.
Who wrote this episode?
It's hilarious because it's ABC, so they can't say fart on TV.
But they not say fart?
No. He goes, did you? Did I what? You know.
But they can say son of a bitch all the time.
Yeah, you can't say, and that's the idiotic thing about it, is because a fart is a bodily function. You can't talk about bodily functions. That's why nobody ever says, I have to go take a piss, or I have to go take a leak, or I have to go take a shit, or even non-expletive words, I have to go take a crap, or whatever like that.
Right.
They can say, I don't give a crap, but they can't say, I'm going to take a crap.
Right.
Because they can't talk about bodily functions. That's why even on premium cable television, they can use the F word. They can say, hey, what the fuck's going on here, or something like that, but they can't be like, oh, I'm going to go fuck this chick.
Right.
Because now they're talking about a bodily action.
Right. PG-13 movies can get one fuck, but they can't get a motherfucker.
Right. They can't use motherfucker. Yeah. They can't say fucking either. Even if they were like,
right.
I can't fucking believe this. They can't say that.
They can say fuck.
Just fuck.
Yeah.
Standards and practices is really, really dumb. But yeah, so no, neither one of them farted. There's a body in the back.
Yeah, I was gonna say the corpse-sized lump in the car is the unknown factor here. Where
I'm stunned that he didn't see the bag when he was putting the coolers in the body.
Yeah, bag. Like it's all that's in the car. It's the two of them, the two coolers that Hurley put in, and the body bag with a body in it. Yeah.
Right. And Miles is just like, he's letting it go up until the very last moment of Hurley actually finding the body bag. But I gotta check the sandwiches.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if my mayo turned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These people could get sick. It's like, yeah.
But then don't have them eat it.
Or don't keep the food by a dead body.
No, oh, that too.
They pull over, they discover the body, and then Hurley's like, what the hell? And Miles is like, well, that dude's name's Alvarez. He was working at the Orchid. He was thinking about this chick. And then all of a sudden he felt this weird pain in his mouth. And he didn't get shot. What happened was the magnetic, some sort of the power source pulled a filling out of his jaw.
Is that what it was? I thought that was like a bullet entering at a weird angle and then it
I just thought Miles was lying to him.
Which is entirely possible. It is entirely possible. But that's the explanation he gives Hurley, okay, is that a filling got sucked out of his own head and through his brain by the orchid power source, the thing that they're working.
That's how I'm going out, man. I'm going to swallow a bunch of ball bearings and go into an MRI machine. That's how I'm going to go.
Eat first.
He's like, oh, what, like how do you know
all that?
He's like, dude, you can talk to dead people. And Miles like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Like,
oh, and then he's like, don't worry, dude. Your secret's safe with me.
Yeah, he's like, I can talk to dead people too. Yeah.
I loved this where Hurley was just like, yeah, man. Like,
yeah.
Anything's possible. Everything's cool. Yeah. I'm writing Empire over here.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah. The world is our oyster, man.
But for Hurley, it's like, you might be able to talk to dead people. You also have talked to people that were figments of your subconscious. So let's make sure that those dead people are actually dead people.
Right, because those dead people might just be figments of your imagination.
Yes.
Cut back to flashback. Miles is attempting to help a grieving father, played by Dean Norris.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked up when Breaking Bad season one was, and it would have been the year before this.
Okay.
And at the time, it was probably like, oh man, I can't believe Lost got Dean Norris. And now it's a damn, I can't believe Dean Norris went on Lost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely.
Yeah. But yeah, so Miles is selling his services as a spirit medium, something like that. So he takes out ads whenever Dean Norris wants to know if his son knew that he loved him. Whatever. And so he's like, well, I need a body. And he's like, well, I cremated. Well, it doesn't work if it's a body. I mean, it works better if there's a body. It doesn't cost you extra. Give me some more money. Hold it. Yeah. Focus on the
Russell. Hands him like $600 or something. Like,
concentrate, Russell. Your son definitely knew. See you later.
Peace. Wow.
That's it.
And I understand this scene is just to establish like that this is what Miles is doing this for is cash.
Yeah, yeah.
But like it happens so quickly and Russell's so like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here, cool. You want another $600?
Yeah. Thank you for peace of mind.
Yeah.
As Miles leaves, Dean Norris, Naomi Dorrit, known corpse, known parajumper, and stab.
Known knife sheath.
Yeah. Naomi Dorrit catches him on the sidewalk and he's just like, hey, my employer is putting together a little concern. We're looking for some motivated individuals. You want to come check it out? And he's like, yeah, I got free time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says it's like that somebody's interested in his
abilities. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we cut to 77. Yeah. Roger, despite running out of the infirmary in this panicked and flustered state, has just posted up at the swing set and is pounding cold ones.
That's exactly what I wrote. I said, Act Two, this episode's much more realistic. Dad knows his son is gone. He's pounding cold ones on a swing.
I like to think he went to Horace's office to snitch, and then Horace wasn't there, and he's like, fuck it, I give up.
Yeah. I love that the Darman issue is like, well, we haven't written a law about drinking in public, so...
Coors Banquet it is.
Yeah. Dharma Banquet.
Yeah, sorry, thank you.
But yeah, he's 3-4 deep already, and Kate comes to like, yeah, come over to make him feel better, which is, this is a bad idea. Yeah. Why don't you know that this is a bad idea, Kate? Like, you're trying to get away with something. You already know you're trying to get away with something. At the beginning of this episode itself, you spirited off to the fence with LaFleur to sneak Ben out of the thing so that he has a better shot of living because they know they have to save his life because otherwise it would create a time paradox. Little Ben can't die because adult Ben is already alive. Blah, 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 blah. But then you come back, get caught having kidnapped the son by the father. The father ran away and then didn't snitch.
Right.
And then you're like,
I'm going to make more suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to do something to make it even worse.
Your son's in a safe place.
How do you know? Yeah. And that's essentially the conversation.
Well, and also, you know, play it off more just like, oh, I don't know. I'm just trying to stay positive. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, something like that.
As soon as he's suspicious, like, what do you mean? What do you know? Just be like, oh, no, I don't know anything.
Just vibes.
I'm just trying to help you stay positive, my dude.
Yeah. Cut over to Miles and Hurley. They're chatting on the drive.
So Miles is like, wait, so you actually see
the
people and talk to them? And Hurley's like, yeah, I talk to them all the time. I was like, that's not how it works. And Hurley's like, well, that's how it works for me, man.
Yeah. So they're sort of trying to parse out their respective abilities, which is, yeah, Hurley has like visions.
Right.
He can't do it at will. And oftentimes he doesn't want it to happen. We've seen in the past anyway.
Right.
But yeah, so they pull up to the orchid. Dr. Chang comes out. He's not happy that Hurley has tagged along. Like,
right.
He's like,
yeah,
what the fuck? You were supposed to be out here with just that. And he's like, well,
this guy's not in the trust tree.
Yeah. It's like, well, Hurley was bringing sandwiches to the crew. And Chang's like, it's not the reunion break yet.
And then Hurley with no poker face is like, don't worry, I know about the body. Yeah. You could have just delivered lunch, my dude.
Yep. Like,
I'm not telling no one.
Yeah. There was a cool thing here where, like, so Chang starts to threaten him. He's like, if you tell anybody, you think working in the kitchen's bad? I like working in the kitchen. Do you like polar bear shit? We find here that Dr. Chang believes that the polar bear experiments are ridiculous, which I like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on
at
his
least
side.
Somebody does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least somebody at the Dover Initiative was like,
ship you over to Hydra, whatever the fuck they're doing over there.
Nonsense is going on over there with the polar bears. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to know that even within the Dharma Initiative, there's a divide.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Exactly. but yeah, Hurley's like, nah, it's all good. I can keep secret shit. I didn't tell anybody from the future yet, so it's all fine.
Yeah. He apparently yelled about the dead body of this whole group of people.
Yeah, yeah. They're all deaf because they're drilling with carbon drill bits and then underneath, whatever.
Yeah.
But then Chang, like, they carry the body away. Hurley's like, what the hell?
Guy's a jerk.
And I was like, that jerk's my dad.
Yeah.
So there was a moment here as the Dharma guys are getting the body out of the car. I don't know if you guys were watching the subtitles, but the guy's getting the body out of the car. One of them just goes, what the hell? Does he got Jimmy Hoffa in here? And I didn't hear
really?
It. I didn't hear it at all, but it was in the subtitle track on Hulu. And I was just like, presumably these guys know what this is and it's a body. And like, it just, I don't know. That one,
when did Hoffa disappear?
That's what I looked
was
at the Jimmy Hoffa
Google,
thing. It was in my Google. I have a list of my Google history if you would like to go over it at some point.
1975.
Okay. That works then.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Milwaukee's own Jimmy Hoffa.
Yep.
Hopefully.
He was the best guy around.
What about the murders?
What murders? We cut to a flashback. Naomi is auditioning Miles for the position of medium on the journey. So they go into the back of this restaurant or whatever it is, abandoned space of some sort, and there's a body laying on this table. And Naomi's like, yeah.
Do your thing.
Do the thing.
The effects on this were so much.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Miles is standing there. It's like, wow, swirl.
He's doing this thing with his head, you know, like.
Yeah, shaking the lip and the jaw.
I'm seeing a.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, you know, like, you got the. Who was that guy back in the day that. Jonathan Edwards. You know, he would be like, I see a man. Did anyone ever have a man die? And, like, some people are like, oh, that's me. That's my dad.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Whereas fucking Miles gets up there and is like, his name is Felix, and he was delivering something to a guy named Widmore, and she's like, what else you got? Like, he got it.
He got it.
Yeah, he got it. Yeah. He knows this man's name and who he was hanging out with. Like, what more do you need?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know, we're auditioning a lot of other candidates right now. What's his shoe size?
So he gets some more specifics. Felix was delivering some paperwork and some photos, stuff like that. He saw some photos of some empty graves, a bunch of empty graves, and then he also saw a purchase order for an old airplane.
Yeah.
But so he gets it right, and Naomi's like, you nailed it.
Cool.
Good work.
You want to jump on this expedition? And he's like,
nah.
She's like, yeah,
kinda whatever.
Chartering a ship. He's like, nah.
I like boats. It
pays $1.6 million.
When do we leave?
Yeah. Good bit.
It's perfect, yeah.
Cut to 77.
Yeah.
So Chang needs a ride to the other work site.
Hurley's like, wait, so how do you know that Chang is your dad? And Miles is like, well, I put it together when I saw my mom in line at the cafeteria.
But yeah, so they ride to this other work site.
What happened to the body?
What body?
What body, yeah.
What made
it? Actually, I did appreciate that, actually.
Yeah.
Dr. Chang putting in it. Like, he seems like one of the more professional people in the Dharma Initiative, from what I've gathered.
Exactly.
He's spinning a lot of plates, though. Yeah. In the last episode we saw, he's both in charge of, like, internal communications and the science behind the source of limitless power.
And he also has time to read a book with his baby boy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They were making him out to be a bad guy. He probably is. But in this little 45-minute snippet that I got, I think he's fine.
I like the characterization of Dr. Chang. Because up until, I think this season is, I think, the first time he starts showing up regularly. The only exposure we have to him the first 4 years of the show is the orientation videos that he does.
Roger bumps into Jack. Jack is doing
2632 is the longest time to Jack in any episode that I've had, and I could not have been happier.
What's the TTJ on this?
That's exactly what I wrote in my notes. I put TTJ.
That's our new metric. It's the new, especially because he's not like.
Yeah, he's not.
Episodes we've seen, he's taking a backseat to everybody.
Yep. Jack is doing some janitor stuff. He's been sorted into workman, and so is Roger. So Roger's like, what are you doing? I'm janitoring here. I got drunk, man. And then I decided, well, I should just go back to work.
The way he kicks the mop bucket was pretty violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Jack's like, all right, my bad, dude. I'll go clean something else. Then Roger's like, what do you know about Kate? She's talking weird. Same weird stuff to me in the swing set. Jack's like, bro, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I know Kate. It's fine.
Yeah, maybe don't mention that you like know her again. Play the subterfuge. Like, I'm sure it's nothing. She was just trying to be. But now he's like, no, I know.
She's a friend of mine. Yeah. And it's fine.
I know that she sewed the drapes.
Seems like he manages to talk Roger out of snitching on Kate again.
Yeah.
Cut over back over to Hurley. This
is my favorite scene.
He's such a shitster. It's so good. It sure would be a problem if any fathers and sons had a good time hanging out together.
Dude, yeah, he's just trying to get him to chum it up. Yeah, he's like, you have a 3-year-old son named Miles? What a coincidence. Your name is Miles.
Yep. Do you like jazz? My wife does. I like country. Okay. But yeah, it's just like, you guys.
We should all grab a drink sometime.
Let's grab a beer one
time. You guys feel
What does he say? So you guys must know each other pretty well. He's like, we don't really travel in the same circles. And it's like, Chang's like, I didn't realize there were circles. It's like, have you been avoiding me?
Yeah. Dude, everyone wears different colored suits. Yeah, there's circles.
It's just like in the first season of the show. There's circles. There's a fucking loop.
Oh, yeah.
They pull up to the construction site.
Secret road.
Very well camouflaged.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, another segment I like to call, how many times do you guys think it would take you to get that lock in the fence? Because I would be at least like 6. I would try to look cool because there's people in the car that are like, wait, Hurley and Miles in the car. I'd be like, all right, here we go. And try to get it in one. And I would absolutely.
Where the fuck is it? There's like one leaf that's kind of browner than the rest. I know it's around here.
Yeah. Somewhere. I would drive past it every time. I would be like, I missed it.
Shit.
I missed it again.
It's after that one mangrove tree.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they pull down the secret road, get to the construction site. Chang's like, I'll get a ride back with Ryazinski. You guys can bail. It's all good.
Actively get out of my face.
Yeah. Leave now and never speak to me ever again.
Yeah.
And there's just some dudes over here who get some lines. I know they're actors, but I'm having a hard time calling them actors in this moment because they're dudes just reading lines.
That's the key grip.
What's the serial number for that? I got to stamp it on here. Let me look at the form. 4, 8, 15, 6. And he's clanging away with the punch and we cut over to Hurley and Hurley's got the, you know, he went to the nothing box. And he's like, oh, God.
But he knows the last number.
Doing the Leo point at the screen.
Miles and Hurley don't know each other that well. So he's like, how'd you know the last number? He's like, dude.
They're building our hatch.
I fucking know everything about this joint. Yeah. I know that there's going to be an accident. I know the names of the guys that got to push the button. I know everything. Mm-hmm. That's our hatch.
This is the thing that crashes our plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah. I thought it would have been a little bit more playful if rather than just waiting until the last number.
He jumped in early.
Yeah, and said all the numbers right before each one.
Yep.
You know, and really fuck with Miles.
Just like whispering to yourself, 4.
4!
Yeah.
8.
8!
15.
15. How are you doing that?
I talk to dead people. I told you this.
Yeah. Exactly. I wrote here that Hurley mildly freaks out because he doesn't freak out all the way, but he freaks out a little.
Hurley's had so many reasons to freak out with the numbers, mm-hmm. and that's like old hat now. It's like the numbers have already done their day.
I think he has finally accepted that the numbers, in fact, aren't a personal curse, but there is something bad about them. So
the numbers had to get him to the island.
We cut to a flashback. Miles is grabbing a fish taco, taking a little walk.
Vanpool guys. Hey, Miles!
Huh?
Snatch.
Get him! Yeah, he gets snatched by some dudes in ski masks. And then from the front seat, a fella by the name of Brom. Turns around.
That's that sound that Christopher Nolan movie trailers make, right? Yeah.
Brom. Do you recognize Brom?
No, I don't. Who the fuck is Brom?
You definitely wouldn't recognize him, Eric, because you didn't see
Absolutely not.
I do not know this man.
All I know is he went about this in the exact wrong way.
Yeah, he fucking did.
They try to convince him to not take the $1.6 million and work for Charles Woodworm. They're like, don't do it. And Miles, he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. Double, $3.2 million.
Absolute power move from Miles in this situation of like, I don't know. I just don't know how anybody could be like, all right, we're going to convince this guy that for his own good, we have to save his life. He cannot go do this. He is throwing his life away. He's going to get caught up in a maelstrom of, I'm assuming they know about the island.
Yeah.
It's a maelstrom of something beyond his control. What we're going to do is we're going to roll up. We're going to ruin his dinner. And we're going to throw him in the back of a van with a bunch of people in masks. We're going to tell him the truth. We're going to tell him everything. And then we're going to throw him out.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, what's your counteroffer? Is it at least double? No. Are you going to tell me the skinny now?
No.
Fuck you. Now I gotta walk 6 blocks back to go get another fucking taco.
Yeah, you guys owe me a taco.
I feel like I'm absolutely on Miles' side with this. Like,
yeah, it's drastic enough for you to snatch me off the side of the road, but it's not so drastic that you can't take no for an answer.
Right.
It's like, we're gonna kidnap you, but then if you don't want to do it, well, we're not gonna make you do anything against your will.
Right.
Even that would be crazy.
Even though we just took you against your will.
Even though we just literally did that. Little strange, yeah.
Yeah.
Go back to 77. Hurley explains the hatch to Miles. There's a button in there. There's a power source. There's a thing. There's a blah, 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 blah. Just like some quick exposition in the event that you didn't watch season 2 of Lost.
Yeah.
Miles doesn't want to get to know Chang. Like, no. Hurley is like, hey, man, I think your dad was down to grab that beer. And he's like, I don't want to. Like, yeah, I never knew him.
Fucking care.
I don't care. It's, you know, I'm not harboring anger or resentment, or maybe I am a little bit, but like, I never knew him. So I can't say that I don't have a longing. Yeah. I don't know if I want to get to know him or not, because I don't know anything about him.
Right.
And I don't have that curiosity to find out what you know. Miles is like, I'm not digging into your life. What if I did that? He snatches the book away from him. He starts slipping through it. Reads Hurley's poorly spelled Empire Strikes Back script.
I thought this was a pretty good bit. I said that to myself. I'm like, that's pretty funny. And then Miles immediately said it was stupid. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. I just desperately want to know what changes he's making to the script, though. Like, what?
Especially for Empire. Like,
right. People, like, it's so good.
Right, it's so good. They have a fight. He calls his idea to write Empire stupid. And then Hurley hits him with, well, at least I'm not scared to talk to my own dad.
Yeah.
And then they drive off.
Yeah.
We cut back to the barracks at night. Jim LaFleur, Sawyer, comes home.
Long day of fucking around.
Snatching kids.
Yeah.
Erasing tapes. Doing whatever.
Hanging out with the hostiles.
Yep.
So there was a moment here. Speaking of standards and practices, we're coming back to here where Sawyer walks back into the house. He's like, you ever feel like you're the boy with his finger in the, and then you just cut off? And I was like, that has to be, like, they can't say, like, finger in the dike on TV, right? Like, that's, and I
even
was
though
like,
you should be able to, because it's D-I-K-E is a
it's the dam.
It's like, a dike. Right. A dike is a thing. It's not just dyke slang for, or maybe a slur for lesbian.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, because he said it, and I said it in the living room. You ever feel like the little boy with a finger? Then I said, dyke.
And then that was another one of my Google searches, was, has anybody ever said it on primetime TV? And it was inconclusive. So.
Okay. Eric's putting in some work over here, man.
Lead researcher, that's your title for this episode.
Perfect. Other searches included Babe from Lost season 5 E13. Found out she was Marsha Thomason, and then I looked up Marsha Thomason.
Wait, which one's
Marsha? Naomi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As Sawyer's trying to vent to Juliet, she's like, we have a guest, and it's Jack.
One of the janitors is here, and he won't leave.
Jack's like, hey, I just want to let you know, Kate tried talking to Ben's dad. She pulled a Kate. fucking, he's all suspicious now. I think I got him to calm down. But like, everyone should just be aware that he's on like high alert right now.
Yeah, like we're not necessarily getting away with this right now, and we might still, but it's gonna need some extra effort now.
Yeah, holy, and that is a level of communication that we did not see in the first 3 seasons of the show.
Right. Yeah, especially between Jack and Sawyer.
Right.
Is Jack growing up?
A little bit. Yeah.
He's sobered
up. And so is Sawyer.
Grown up.
Because season 2 Sawyer would have ignored him, but season 5 Sawyer is like, Thanks for filling me in. Appreciate that.
Yeah, great to know.
Yeah, good, good.
But then the shortest man in the world shows up.
It's the little guy.
It's the little dude, Phil.
Patrick
Fischler. He's like, hey, man, I found out who snatched Ben. And Sawyer's like, oh, hell yeah, tell me who. And he's like, it was you.
Look at this Betamax tape.
Like, I've got the proof right here. Oh, well, why don't you come on inside by my collection of blackjacks and baseball bats, and we'll watch the tape together. And
we can go
laugh.
Over the list of people you've told about this.
Yeah,
tell me who, and then we'll watch the tape.
The world's most gullible guy, and he's just like, oh, I got a perfect explanation. Let me show you inside my house behind this locked door.
Yeah, exactly.
Wham,
clonk. turns to his sweet domestic partner, Dr. Juliet Burke, who works in the motor pool. Get some rope. cut to a flashback.
Yeah.
Miles is going to go on the trip. He's got his army A bag. His return to Hank, or Dean Norris. And he's like, Yeah, I lied before. Here's your money back. Hey, man, if you wanted your son to know that you loved him when you were alive, you should have just told him. This is definitely not my own shit that I'm unpiling on
you. Yeah, I could have done without all of this.
That was super heavy-handed. I was like, okay, this is cheap. Was this script short? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Felt weird to bring in Dean Norris for that.
For that, yeah. But and that's all that happened. Gives him his money back. Cut back to 77. Hurley and Miles are gassing up the van and turning back in. Hurley apologizes. He's like, hey, man.
Sorry.
I was a little out of line, maybe. You know, I don't mean to push.
But I was estranged from my father. I let him back in, and we ended up having a great relationship afterwards. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe give the guy a second chance.
Yeah. He throws in peppers in a couple little more Star Wars references. It's like, it's just like Luke, man. Luke didn't want to get to know his father. And then later on, you know, they kind of patch things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Miles starts walking back to his place. He passes by Pierre's, Dr. Chang's house.
Yeah.
Sees his dad holding
just
him as a baby.
Just being like dad of the year.
Long day of disposing of corpses, dealing with limitless power, you know, mouthing off to Radzinski and pushing people around, and then just come back and.
Read a book to my kid. Yeah. Kids in a Dharma onesie.
Dharma onesie, hell yeah. He gets a phone call and has to get up. So he very suddenly just gets up, puts his Dharma windbreaker on, comes out, sees Miles standing in his front yard. He's just like, oh hey,
you,
Miles.
I need you.
Perfect. Yeah, I know you can drive. Give me over to...
Come on, worker.
We got to go to the sub. And Miles is like, he plays his part. He's like, we got some new recruits coming in. I didn't know. But he's like... No, scientists from Ann Arbor. It's this other thing, but I need to ride. Let's go.
You're in the trust tree now. You have to be at my beck and call.
Yeah, let's roll. So they drive over to the sub dock. We know the sub dock.
Yeah.
There was a submarine there one time. And future, John Locke blows it up.
Oh, it's so good.
But here in the past,
John Locke says, submarine, not on my watch.
Here in 77, the sub dock is perfectly fine. That's how they get people to and from the island. It's apparently very easy to get there to the island as long as you know how. They start unpiling some people and some other stuff, and Miles goes to help a dude off the sub, and he's like, oh, you Ann Arbor boys don't pack light or whatever. And who pops up out of the sub but our buddy Danny Faraday? And he's like, Dan? Hey, Miles.
Yeah.
Long time no see.
That would have hit if I knew who that was, probably.
Yeah, we just had an episode full of Faraday, so.
We've seen Faraday in 3 episodes now, because he's in right at the end of the season 4 first episode, and then he was in the one that we just watched for the last episode.
Yeah.
JP and I have seen him.
Yeah.
We don't know. He's a physicist of some sort.
He loves Desmond.
He also, I think, has a crush on Charlotte.
He has a mom.
He has a mother.
He went to Oxford, brag.
He likes a skinny tie.
He loves his shirt.
All right.
He was in Saving Private Ryan.
He was in Million Dollar Hotel with Mel Gibson. That's the best I get. And Mila Jovovich. And Jimmy Smits. Oh, fuck. Anyways, sorry. What were we talking about?
Well, so this is the part of the show in which we would normally ask ourselves to be like, was it good? And dole out some MVPs and some Lost Forevers. But we've got a special segment. We haven't.
I
feel like we haven't done in an eternity. Lost Missing Pieces. Lost Missing Pieces was a series of mobisodes, not webisodes, mobisodes, because you didn't watch them on the web. You watched them on the mob.
Internet doesn't mobisode like they used to.
These
Eric's look of disgust right now.
Well, no, MOBA is like League of Legends, a Dota, and I love the idea of putting a clip from Lost in a 3 minute, like 3 minutes of a game of League of Legends. Just be miserable, get called slurs, and get important lore info about Lost.
It's the non-skippable ad for a YouTube video.
Sheepers. Yeah, we're gonna talk real quick about Missing Pieces.
No, we are not. We are gonna spend 45 minutes on this because one of these pieces of shit has never fired me up quite like this one has.
Honestly, like as we were getting going, I was like, we should burn through some, like we should do like 20 minutes on some Like It Hoth and then do the other half of the episode on Buried Secrets. But Missing Pieces number 8, Buried Secrets, with centric characters Son and Michael, Jin appears.
Yeah.
It originally aired on December 24th, 2007 on Verizon, and then December 30th, 2007 on ABC.com.
We do need to figure out what released on Verizon means, because like, if you just had a Verizon phone, were you just getting this video like of Lost sent to you? It'd be like,
yeah,
check
I think
this shit
that
out.
Sounds like 2008, 2009.
Yeah. I think that's exact because it's not like you had the YouTube app on your phone, so you couldn't just like, oh,
because most people would have still been on like flip phones.
So yeah, you flipped it open and you could watch a
3-minute clip of Lost.
On your flip,
like that kind of compression too.
Oh, baby. Buried Secrets takes place on day 32 of the island. So this is during season one.
Yeah.
Is there,
like, yeah, because they're Michael's like, oh, we'll get rescued any day now.
Yeah. We're up on Jin fishing and Sun eyeballing him from the tree line.
She quickly tries to run off into the woods to go bury her fake ID.
She had, in her efforts to leave Jin because of his violent job working for her father, was going to disappear into the United States.
Yeah.
So she has a California driver's license.
She's just going to shallow bury it just real quick.
It's not even, if you're trying to get rid of it, there are so many better ways to get rid of it.
They have multiple fires every day.
Yeah. And if you're like, oh shit, Jin's right there, I got to do, like, don't do it right now.
Yeah.
Bundle it with some sticks and throw it into a fire. Like, nobody will care about kindling.
You've managed to go 32 days without him discovering it.
Yeah.
If you now decided here on day 32 to get rid of it, burn it tonight at the signal fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, Jack would be like, no plastic in the fire. Come on. We've got some rules around here.
Yeah. I'm a doctor.
So she starts digging a hole and she's going to go bury it. But then she hears Michael and his preferred searching technique, which is screaming somebody's name. It's not Walt, which is a nice change of pace.
Oh, my God.
Michael's looking for Vincent because he lost the dog again, because that's something Michael does. I'm going to put some of the onus on Vincent. Vincent likes to roam.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not going anywhere. It's an island.
It's an island. Yeah, where's he going to go? Well, I suppose he could get eaten by a polar bear.
Or a smoke monster.
Or a boar.
Shot by another.
Or sonic fence.
Eaten by Ethan.
The landmines.
Michael sees what she's up to and just like, hey.
What's up?
Yeah, it's all good. And she's like, oh, nothing. It's all good.
I've seen your tits and I know you speak English. We're best friends now.
We're made for each other.
That's how we met.
Yeah. He spots the driver's license in the hole. He picks it up. He takes a look at it.
Hands it back to her.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, did you
lose this?
Did you drop this?
Yeah. Some dirt on that
And did you drop this into a hole and then leave it there? I'm so helpful.
Well, she's trying to not draw attention to it. She doesn't stand over. She just keeps looking down at it like.
Yeah. And so she goes, I was going to. And then he's like, you don't have to tell me. And then she tells him anyway.
Dude.
You don't have to tell me, but the audience would like to know.
Yeah, the audience would know, I guess.
Yeonjun Kim is doing some fucking acting.
Yeah.
It's like the audition tapes for Stranger Things when Millie Bobby Brown is the only kid with range, just like crying her eyes out. It's like, yeah, she's like, oh, this is, I have a scene to be emotional. I'm showing everybody on ABC that I got some chops.
But yeah, she's working here. So this information that we're getting, this is information that we had. This, they talked about this in episodes. That's like, this is kind of like
that there's something
we already know.
So I guess as a newcomer to the little mini series here, is this all like, is this deleted scenes or is this like exclusively like people got lost fever and they need more?
A few of them that are absolutely just scenes that were shot that had to get cut.
Okay. That did it, yes.
There some are of them some are that cut. Were clearly filmed on like a cell phone.
Got it. Because this one, like for you saying that this was on like a Verizon mobile phone in 2006, like that looked.
This had to be.
This had to have been a deleted scene and not
like the lens compression you got on the shot of Jin, Dolly pushing.
They've got some notes here. There's a making of article about this Mobisode in the Cabin Fever issue of Lost, the official magazine.
Christ, Lost was so big and for no reason.
This is the longest Mobisode at 327.
Okay. Yeah.
It takes place during the events of a Sun and Jin-centric episode in translation.
What?
Maybe it was a deleted scene, and this was information that would have been in translation.
This is so important. I mean, not to the greater Lost story, but when we're talking about, we never understood, other than Michael saw Sun.
Yeah, he peeped on her accidentally.
Accidentally. We did not know that she almost cheated on her husband with Michael.
Yeah. So she gets done explaining she was going to leave Jin, and he's like, it's okay, we'll get rescued. Everything's better, everything's different, everything. And then they slowly start to move toward, they do the slow television kiss that you can see it coming. You can see it coming. It's about to.
Yeah.
They're both moving. It's not him. It's not just her. They're moving toward each other. The dog barks, snaps him out of it. And she's like, oh shit, I gotta go. And he's like, yeah, me too.
I gotta go bury this boner in the dirt.
Yeah, exactly.
No good. He'll just find it.
He'll give it to her anyways.
Did you drop this? So we know that the early days of the island, Sun and Jin's relationship was still very rocky. We know that.
Yeah.
We know later on that Sun did have an affair.
There was always these looks exchanged between Michael and Sun that we were like, what's going on with these?
Yeah.
And it's because they almost had a moment.
Right. A month into it, 3 weeks after he accidentally saw her topless, they also then almost kissed.
Right. And then Michael goes to work on the boat.
With Jin,
and they become like buddy-buddy.
Earlier, before the raft is burned, before Jin gets hurt, before any of that happens, she's going to bury her driver's license as a symbol to maybe thinking about reconciling with Jin, maybe? Then almost kisses Michael.
Yeah.
Doesn't kiss him. The raft gets burned. Jin gets beaten. She saves him, prevents him from getting beaten and potentially lynched on the beach, then breaks up with him. Michael, who almost kissed her, then goes to repair the raft, and Jin joins him in repairing the raft. This scene, had it happened at the time, would have changed the entire flavor of a bunch of that stuff.
I'm trying to look at like what some of the other subplots are from that episode. Like Shannon's looking for Boone, and something sparks with them and her and Saeed, and this, there's some other stuff with like a lot going on. I'm like, we couldn't have fit this 3 minute crucial
I feel like if we go back and listen to the Lost on Lost in translation, I'm sure that we talked about something that could have been cut. Yeah. 3 minutes of that episode probably could have been deleted. This could have been inside of it. This could have changed a lot of stuff. And I personally think it's really interesting had it been there,
because
we were watching it just now and I was like, why wasn't this part of the thing? And I was irate.
Yes. Oh yeah. As they were about to lean in for the kiss, all of us were like, wait, what? Because if they would have, I would have set my computer on fire and stopped doing this podcast. Anyways, that was
Missing Pieces, Buried Secrets. Back to the task at hand. Did we like it? Was it good? Buried Secrets. Eric, go.
How do we know?
Did we like it? Was it good?
Oh, we're some doing Buried Secrets. All right.
No.
Sequits.
Some like it hot.
Some like it hot.
Did we like it? Was it good? What do you think?
It was fine. I like the Miles stuff a lot. I think that the overall Lost of it is bad, and I don't enjoy the time travel. I don't enjoy the Dharma stuff going on. But I'm also missing a lot of context for that, and I understand.
Yeah.
We
are just calling it timey-wimey bullshit.
Okay. I do not enjoy the timey-wimey bullshit.
Yeah. You fortunately didn't get exposed to a ton of it, which was nice, but enough.
That's enough that I was out.
I got put through the fucking ringer last night.
I enjoyed the Miles stuff. I enjoyed the interactions with him and Dr. Chain. Hurley is always a treat whenever Hurley's around.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought that the shoehorned in thing with Dean Norris is a little weird.
Yeah.
But it also like brought more context to Miles' character. But overall, I'm not super enthused or interested to see where the rest of this goes.
Okay.
So
like bits, didn't like other stuff. The stuff you liked was outweighed by the stuff you didn't.
Yes.
JP?
It was fine. I'll give it like a meh. I do really like Miles. When my man was like, answers to vague questions are $1.6 million, I'll take $1.6 million. I was like, my man, let's go. It didn't feel like much happened in this. We know that there's a dead body that they shuffled away.
Sure.
That's kind of about it. It's a meh. Like, I enjoyed some of the stuff that the characters did, but there wasn't much progression of the plot. So it was like, I want to see where this stuff goes.
Sure.
Adam?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, Miles is great. He's probably one of my favorite new characters from the freighter. Just an interesting character and a happy addition to the cast.
Yeah.
Not a ton happened, but a lot of good character stuff that I liked in there. You know, it did feel a little bit transitory. Like, this is a bit of a hammock in between maybe two other bigger action episodes.
It's a great way
the one before
that,
and the one after. It's like we got to cool the temperature a little bit before we ramp into the next big thing, whatever that is. But yeah, on the whole, I liked it a lot because I like Miles, and I like seeing the Jack and Sawyer relationship where it's at now.
Sure.
I liked it.
We got to still hand out some MVPs. So Lost MVP, who was your favorite person in the episode? Who was great? Who gets gold star for the day? Eric, start us off with an MVP.
I think everybody knows what I'm going to say, and it's got to be my boy Hurley. I mean, really carried the episode. Had a plan to fix some shoddy work by George Lucas. Came in, knows what he wants. Has a kick-ass recipe for garlic mayo that he's way overly concerned about.
Yeah.
Wormed his way into the circle of trust without even having an
Didn't even have to take the test.
No, he did great.
Yeah.
Good no pick. Notes.
Hurley, yeah.
Cool.
Nailed it. Yep.
I dig it.
JP?
Radzinski.
What?
Explain yourself.
There's a lot of actors in this show who are playing characters who are just nerds that need to be shoved into lockers, right? We got Phil, right? Phil just gets knocked out. Yeah. We got Horace. Yeah. Incredibly punchable face.
Yes.
Right? Ben's also punchable, and he gets punched all the time. Mm-hmm. Radzinski is also one of those, but Radzinski ain't taking that shit from nobody. He's just wild out there. He's swinging a gun around. You do this. You get over here. I ain't taking shit from nobody. Where's LaFleur? Ah! And I was just like, this man's out of his mind, and I like it.
Yeah, the audacity to say fell in a ditch.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, you're going to ask more fucking questions? You're about to fall in a fucking ditch. honorable mention.
Put you next to Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, honorable mention the Teamsters.
Attaboy. Yeah. Union strong. Union forever.
Adam.
My MVP, it's going to be Miles. He's trying to come to terms with the fact that he spent his entire life not wanting to know his father, not caring, whatever, and now being exposed to it and being actually sitting there, he might make a decision that might be good for himself. And I like his acting throughout, just like he playing sort of that gloom, that the weight of like trying to hold on to that I don't care, but feeling his own grip on that.
Yeah.
Loosening. And so, you know, the sullenness and the sulkiness, I think he really embodied that and played in that and made it not feel depressing. I could sure. Feel Miles wondering.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't saying it, he was.
You know? Yeah, Ken Leung does a great job of portraying all of that in his performance.
Yeah,
he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, Miles is a centered character, but in every way, Ken Leung was the engine that kept this episode moving.
Yeah, totally. Well, if the engine's running on one side of the island, there's probably one stalled out and dead on the other side of the island. Let's hand out our Lost Forevers. Who is our least favorite? Who could we have done without? Eric, who is your Lost Forever for some like it Hoth?
My Lost Forever is going to be the Circle of Trust. I really just put in a bad performance. The Trust Tree. It really just put in a bad performance. Really got outshone by just letting anybody into it.
Yeah.
Letting people ask a lot of questions and then giving them answers to those questions when that's the reason you have the Trust Tree is to not have to divulge this information. It just feels like anybody can get in these days. I mean, Hurley got in.
Yeah.
So
sort of, yeah. But
Hurley just showed up and was like, I'm in. And they're like, yeah, cool, whatever.
Two greatest words in the English language, default.
Yeah, because like Miles was just brought in and moments later, Miles was able to bring Hurley in.
Yeah, like there's no accountability here. There's no trust.
Guys are already in the Darby Initiative. This is already a Circle of Trust, right? Like
an octagon of trust, at least.
Yeah. Shit. It was right there. All I had to do was reach out and grab it.
That's why there's two of us. JP, who's your Lost Forever?
Roger Workman, man. This guy, I know we're not supposed to like him necessarily, and I really don't. There was a bunch of people to dislike in this one. Kate being a bozo, Horace being a punchable nerd, Phil being a punchable nerd. And amongst all those, I was still just angry every time I saw Roger.
Counterpoint. How many light beers did Kate crush?
Not even the one. She opened it, kind of got foam everywhere, and took a couple of drinks and probably left it.
And Roger can't be that drunk because he's not even singing Country Roads yet.
That's so true. Like. And he drinks all the time, so you got to imagine.
True.
Yeah.
All right.
Adam.
Horace. Fucking nerd, man.
Fucking nerd.
Beyond the fact that ever since that Doug Hutchinson thing came out, I can hardly look at him. Horace, man, like, you gotta be, you can't be everybody's buddy if you're in charge. Yeah. And he's just got this vibe, like, no, we're just gonna hang out. It's the Dharma Initiative. It's all cool. It's like you've given away all of your authority. And then when you go and try and pass out Trust Tree passes, whatever, man. No, I hate Horace.
Yeah.
Fucking dumb face. Yeah, I hate him the most.
He's not great.
Forever.
Yeah. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is there anything you would like to plug?
I am found at twitch.tv/DTJMelons. Come watch me play video games. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
JP.
Yeah.
What are we watching next time?
Well, if you're looking to be lost with us, next time we are watching season 6, episode 12. Hold on. Everybody Loves Hugo.
Yeah.
Starring Hurley. We did an episode called Everybody Hates Hugo already. Ooh. So this,
and
I'm,
and it's phenomenal.
Very excited.
Yeah. This would be good. And yes, episode 12, that's 4 episodes from the end of the show.
Oh man. Well, I am excited about that. So be sure to tune in. Love a good Hurley episode.
Yep.
Well, cool. Yeah. Eric, thank you.
Thank you for having
us again. Yeah, Adam, thank you for flying all the way from California just to record this episode.
That's the only reason I came.
Yeah. And thank you, all of you out there, for tuning into this episode of Lost on Lost.
I'm Adam.
I'm JP.
Do you have any idea what's going on the show?
Nope.
Me neither. Lost on Lost is produced and edited by me and JP.
We wish to acknowledge that we live, work, and produce our show on occupied land.
Burbank, California is located on the traditional tribal lands of the Tongva, Chumash, Keech, and Fernandinho Tataviam peoples.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin is located on the traditional tribal lands of the Peoria, Potawatomi, Miama, and Ho-Chunk peoples.
And Lost was produced in Hawaii on the lands of the Kanaka Maoli.
Visit native-land.ca to learn more about the land you live and work on.
You can engage with us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter at LostOnLost1.
You can also email us at wearelostonlost@gmail.com or support us with dollar monies at ko-fi.com/wearelostonlost.
Thanks to Lostpedia and its community of contributors, Danny Schmitz, random.org, and as always, you the listeners for tuning in.
We're hosted at Podbean. You can hear us there or wherever you get your podcasts, except MySpace. We're not on MySpace.
Yet.
Ha 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 ha